understand you can't listen to all 4 hours of the show. That's why we have Scheman and Shepherd on demand. Download us whenever at 993ESPN.com or on iTunes. This is Scheman and Shepherd on 993ESPN.
Scheman and Shepherd and Dwight and Chris. Serenity Now! Serenity Now!
Moors!
Moops!
Moors!
Moops!
Moors!
We had quite
Bubble
the,
Boy. I mean, the list is endless.
The Office
Serenity
versus...
Now.
I've never heard Serenity
oh,
Now.
Oh, God, that is so popular.
Really?
Never.
That is...
Like, not in the context of quoting a TV show.
Absolutely.
Wow. The Absolutely. Debate between Seinfeld and The Office continues.
It's not a debate.
You're right. It's not a debate.
I'm giving you Seinfeld was an excellent show.
It's not
the only
about
thing
that.
I
We're
said.
We're not talking about both
the only
shows
thing
being
I
excellent.
Said. That's exact because the start of the conversation. We have to call Rick because we're only 11 minutes late for his call weekly.
Yeah, you better call him.
I said The Office is my generation's Seinfeld. That's what I said.
And I stipulate to that.
And you said no.
All I said was that the iconic phrases that are used in Seinfeld. Are going to stand the test of time, and they don't do that in The Office. I'm sorry, they
because
don't.
You've never seen an episode of The Everybody, Office, so you don't
90%
know.
90% of the texters agreeing with me. 90%.
Now you sound like Cougar Hunter, just making percentages up. You're just throwing crap against the wall at this point.
Donnie, who's 37, says he's seen both, and so Office doesn't compare.
Donnie only eats peanut butter and jelly sandwiches with the crust cut off. He's a child.
What's wrong with that?
All right. I think we're going to talk to Rick Haro, our sports business guru, if he hasn't blown us off because we're 11 minutes late. By the way, that's an all-time record for us being late at the top of the hour. My apologies to you sticklers of the clock. 5:04, we wrote it down, 6:25, 2020. And then I put parenthetically Seinfeld versus The Office, so we'll remember. Why we were so
just
late.
Just iconic phrases. Andrew Friedman covers the Dodgers for the LA Times, said Dodgers, members of the Dodgers have tested positive for COVID, but declined to disclose the number and their place within the organization, example, players or coaches. He said none had problematic symptoms. Okay.
All right. Oh, look, this is going to be a lot of the new
locker room junk.
Way we do things here.
I agree with Chris, but Pete is totally right, and I'm 29.
Yeah, thank you. All right, yeah, keep the text coming at 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776.
Faith says, Chris, stop embarrassing yourself.
Yeah. I think we pummeled him into the ground. He's on the phone now. So.
It really doesn't. It's not a close argument. It really isn't. I'm not taking away from The Office being a great TV show.
I'm the only one on this program that has watched both series.
I've watched about as
that's
many offices
that.
As you've watched Seinfeld. I've watched about 20 offices.
Did you start in week?
I'm gathering you've watched about 20 Seinfeld.
Yeah, I'm probably
season
about
five.
That.
Did you start in season five, Craig? Did you watch? From the beginning?
I started on whatever they had that night.
That's what I'm
going to
pull
on.
You. You know what? Tonight I am going to go. I'm going to pull a number out of a hat. Well, how many seasons do they have? 8, 9. I'm going to pull a number
Seinfeld
out of my hat.
Yeah.
And I'm pulling two numbers out, and I will watch that episode and have my review.
Okay, very good. Rick Haro, our sports business guru, is on each and every Thursday. He is here. Rick, it is Ricky Gervais' birthday. We got into a heated argument. Pete and I say Seinfeld dominates The Office. Chris is an office guy. What say you?
But iconic phrase is Seinfeld, not even close. Not even close.
Yeah. How about Beverly Hillbillies? No, Rick, that's not the right answer.
That's not the right answer.
Definitely Seinfeld. Seinfeld and everything else to me is second because of its impact on our behavior. And also, I think it increased the value of the New York Yankees by about $1 billion, even though they didn't need it.
Sure.
Right? That's true. Great stuff.
Yeah.
So what have you been up to?
Well, so Harvard was great, and now I'm up in Lewiston, Maine.
Wow.
I'm overlooking the town is kind of pretty when you're not in the middle of it, when you're overlooking the kind of river there.
Yeah.
Shepard, you know, you've been up here, haven't you?
I have, Lewiston? And that's where Muhammad Ali won a title, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Very well done. I was going to ask you that trivia.
Yeah.
You would know it because you're close to here. And got some golf in Naples, Maine tomorrow. Got some golf in New Hampshire on the next day.
Wait a minute. There's a Naples, Maine?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Naples,
how does it
Italy,
compare?
Naples,
yeah. How's it compared to Naples,
Florida? How does it compare to Naples, Italy? The pizza's not as good, but the fall leaves are better.
Oh, okay.
And the golf courses are really good. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to turn back around, hopefully get back into my state when it becomes the land of descending COVID, not the land of spikes.
Yeah.
Although I don't know how you guys feel. It's on my side of the state,
yes,
and I'm not there. But my sense is that, you know, Miami can't get out of its own way. And, you know, that's enough with the beaches. That's enough with the bars. You know, I'm a little nervous about the Orlando soccer and basketball bubbles, too, because of our state. But we still got some time.
Well, let me ask you, I don't know if you saw the quote today from Malcolm Jenkins or last night from the New Orleans Saints. And he said, football is a non-essential business. We don't need to do it.
Huh.
How do you feel about that statement?
Well, you know, first of all, I got a couple things to say. Mm-hmm. You know, he earned his right to speak, but you got to be very careful about that. He's the one that spearheaded the movement that generated $250 million from the NFL to juvenile justice and bail reform and stuff like that. Now, mm-hmm. You know, that doesn't mean that justifies football's existence. But without football, you know, he wouldn't have been able to put the $250 million on the table. So essential can be interpreted in different ways for different people. Second, I don't know that he should be the one dictating health policy about keeping people safe. In the final analysis, it's going to be up to each individual player to decide whether they want to play or not. What the NBA allows, it's what is going to happen with the NFL. But I'm not sure a sweeping statement saying it's not an essential business, frankly, helps anybody.
No. So what were your thoughts since we spoke to you last? We have a deal for baseball. 60 games, both sides bickering. You've watched this very closely. How do you feel about where things are at with Major League Baseball with a 60-game season?
Well, we don't have a deal. We have a pound down.
Yes.
And so that pound down will be great, starting in a month, because I can't wait for 60 games where every game counts. You know, the big dump knock on baseball, in addition to many, is that you have so many games, it doesn't matter. Well, you know, all right, now we have another chance. We also have a universal DH, and those of people, you know it because you've seen it, those people who've never seen that starting on second base in the 10th inning minor league baseball rule, it's a trip. It'll be a lot of fun. So I think the bickering will be set to the side when these 60 games start steamrolling. But believe me, next year, we're going to make up for it. It's going to be nuclear war unless cooler heads prevail. And then, of course, the labor agreement is over at the end of next season. And, you know, I can't even begin to think what's going to happen next season. They were so close and almost identical, ironically, to what the deal was at the beginning of March. Mm-hmm. And then there was 4 months of distrust. And for a lot of reasons, it's an obvious statement, but you wish they would have done something similar or the same deal, but just shaken hands and said, all right, this is our deal. Every other sport is giving up something. We're giving up something. So let's move forward. That did not happen with baseball.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if it still would have happened if, you know, the NBA, I mean, the NFL is in a great position because they don't have to rush everything. Really, they were in the best position from the get-go, but I'm wondering if MLB did feel the pressure because the NBA and the NHL and, you know, are going to come back in MLS.
Well, if they did, good. And frankly, whatever it took to get them to the table and to help baseball have a chance of reclaiming its American pastime moniker, because it is not now, quite clearly. And so whatever can move it forward, I'm good with that. And let's just put the nuclear weapons down and let's see some baseball. Now we get into the issue of who's testing positive, and now we have some Blue Jays and what's going to happen with that. That's inevitable. I'm not minimizing it, but it's society. So everybody's going to get positive tests in all walks of life. It's not a question of whether or not baseball is immune or any other sports, but what do you do once you get it?
Rick, the NFL, it seems like to me, with conflicting messages today, Roger Goodell saying, oh, we are still on schedule to start preseason camp and all this kind of stuff. and yet they canceled the Hall of Fame game today. But I'm wondering if that's more a function of the whole Hall of Fame extravaganza and the larger induction class and all these people together for the ceremony. They're like, let's just do this next year. I wonder if the canceling of the Hall of Fame game is more a function of that than, uh-oh, we're doomed. Now we're going to cancel the rest of the preseason, and now the beginning of the season is in jeopardy. Which way are you kind of viewing those messages from the NFL?
I'm absolutely convinced, knowing all of the players and how excited David Baker, the head of Hall of Fame, was for this special year. They were opening up a whole new showcase and a new development. They should have probably waited for a year, because to have any restrictions on this grand opening doesn't do anybody right. So I think that's the reason, and it's the right reason. And so I don't think canceling the first week of what would have been preseason is anything more than that. Now, you know, 2-3 weeks from now, we're going to have some tougher decisions to make, especially if spikes keep going up in certain states.
Yeah.
Rick, back to baseball, a couple of things. My word of the day yesterday was loogie, because I don't know how they're going to enforce not spitting in any way, shape, or form, number one. Number two, when they talk about pitchers can't lick their fingers before the ball, and I'll understand all that, they're going to have a wet nap or some whatever it is in their back pocket while they have swamp ass, and then they're going to go to the, you know, and then throw the ball. I mean, I'm seriously wondering how they are going to seriously enforce these type of restrictions, so to speak.
Did you see some of the 1917 pictures during the Spanish flu? I have them in my library. It's kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, they played an entire two seasons with everybody wearing masks. So I'm not prepared to say anything is fluky, even though it might be minimally, maybe more symbolic. I'd rather have a player think twice about before he spits. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure that the umpire is going to rush out and call a ball or throw a guy out of the game. Yeah. I just think it was one of those rules that they put on the table to say, look, we're serious about this stuff. And if you don't believe me, you know, look at some of the 1917 stuff. Some of your listeners are on Google, and it yeah. was weird.
Yeah.
Umpires wearing masks, every player, every pitcher for 2 years.
I noticed that Illinois, which I thought was in really bad shape coronavirus-wise, I guess they're in stage four of opening starting tomorrow. They got people at Wrigley thinking they can have 20% capacity for your beloved Cubs out there.
Well, you know, I've seen a lot of the promotional material the teams are putting out, and some are close to saying it is going to happen that way. Others are saying we're still going to have to see. I think the right way to do it is to say we're still going to have to see. But, you know, I didn't write the stuff, and I'm not going to say that this is definitely the way it is. I just think that there's so many decisions going to be made between now and 5 weeks, 4 weeks from now, that yeah. you got to keep your options open. So, you know, the Cubs, they don't need crowds in the stadium. They need a fourth starter and a closer.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. NFL owners voted today to tarp off the seats in the stadiums near the field to keep distancing between players and people in the sideline. But the bigger reason is to integrate commercials or ads, so to speak. And how do you think that's going to work out?
Well, you know, it happens in other sports. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it happens on the field in soccer. So I think every league is trying to maximize the ability to get more money from television. You know, I wrote about the MLS selling patches on both sides for their six-week tournament, left sleeve, right sleeve, to double the amount of money they thought they would get. Don Garber says he lost $1 billion, so this is a way to get it back, and it's the same kind of thing with the NFL.
Final question for me, Rick. Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about NASCAR. They're maybe the most image-conscious sport out there, maybe. We saw what happened with Bubba Wallace. It was an ugly moment that turned into a really cool moment with the national anthem and the support that he got. Then kind of like, that's kind of weird. The FBI says there's no there with the noose, the rope, the garage pole. Moving forward, what is the image of NASCAR in the wake of what happened this past weekend at Talladega?
I think, you know, I know Don Lemon. I watched the interview. I think Bubba Wallace was a little over the top saying that he's pissed because social media doesn't believe him. Well, he should stop following social media. I think NASCAR, knowing those people, did everything they could at the last minute to put out a statement that reflected their very serious dislike for what was going on. Steve Phelps, the president, delivered the message to Bubba Wallace in person, crying, says Bubba Wallace. They mean it. The next day, an amazing celebration. The FBI was supposed to investigate. They did investigate. They found it was there a year ago. No way it could have been linked to Bubba Wallace. No way. Nobody ever says it did. And so, you know, who knows what it is? He probably shouldn't have called it a noose the next time. I mean, a lot of people have seen that opening and closing garages. But whatever, people should remember that NASCAR was quick to condemn. Mm-hmm. And if you're too quick to condemn, it just makes a statement saying you really feel strongly about this. And then an amazing Monday. What happened after that, I think, is it's not irrelevant, but it's a very small part of the story.
Mm. All right, Rick, enjoy your rest of your trip up there in the Northeast. Thanks for joining us again tonight.
Have fun.
So I'm going to ask you this question. I've you know, you got a delivery here in Lewiston, Maine. I'm going to do it on the water. Can you, just because a wine has a screw top to it, it can still be good, right? I got a screw top bottle, but I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be all right.
I think you'll be all right.
No, and if you know this, Rick, I know you're being kind of tongue-in-cheek, but yeah, a lot of wines now are going that direction, right? That's
good.
Fact. Good wines, not just, good. You know, good wines.
Heck, I'll even do a boxed wine.
No boxes. I already got the screw top. And by the way, I've got two more of these hits to do before, but to hell with them. I'm going to start drinking now.
Okay, sounds good. All right, see you, Rick.
Bye, Rick. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. As Rick Hoare, our sports business guru, on every Thursday. If you want to comment on anything he talked about there, we covered the gamut. It's 239-337-ESPN. Also, I want to remind you guys that hurricane season is here. Get peace of mind with flood insurance, with Farmers Insurance. Call my friend Damon Brist, Damon Brist Farmers Insurance, today. You bundle, you save. You've heard me talk about it. Not in addition to your home hazard insurance and your auto, but flood insurance is not included in your home hazard. You got to be buttoned up with that too. Flood insurance today. Get it. Damon Brist, Farmers Insurance, the fastest growing farmers agency in the country and the largest farmers agency in Southwest Florida. Thanks to all of you people. Here's his phone number. 239-202-2933. That's 239-202-2933. I have switched my policies over to Damon Brist Farmers Agency. Damon Brist, his agency, your Farmers Insurance Connection. Have you switched yet?
Radio Tinder.
I bet you'd swipe right on this show. This is Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
This might be my walk-up music.
Walk up to what? The studio door?
Batter's box.
Yeah, the batter's box.
Although, if this played every time I walked from my office to the studio...
Yeah, would you be jazzed?
I'd be pretty hyped.
Oh, yeah.
Still need my man Otis's walk-up music shortly.
Working on it.
Working on it.
For 5 months?
Coronavirus, see?
Force majeure, Pete.
Force majeure.
Force majeure.
I should have used it there.
All right.
Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer has cleared pro sports without fans. It's time for Detroit Tiger baseball, everybody.
All right.
She says we're now ready to gradually and safely allow professional sports to resume in Michigan. While this is an encouraging step in the reopening of our economy, it is critical for athletes to continue social distancing and taking precautions to stay safe.
20-40, here we come.
The governor's order prohibits spectators except for staff of the facility and working media. The order states that any willful violation would constitute a misdemeanor.
So. Ah, well.
Who's the other bad division in the AL Central, or the bad team in the AL Central? Royals.
White Sox are up and coming.
No, I think the White Sox are sneaky this year.
Yeah, they could be.
I'm just sitting here debating when you jokingly said 20-40.
I mean, it's not that far off.
About right. 19, 20, 21. Yikes.
Well, their win total, as we went through yesterday, is 21.5. Them and the Orioles are tied for the lowest win total out of Vegas.
Could we have a magic number like after like 40 games, right? We're going to be counted down.
No.
We could in a division. We could.
No.
Possibly.
I mean, no, because you'd have to be
10 games
you'd
up.
Have to be 10 games up through 40 games.
It could happen. I mean, the Nationals were 10 games out know. After 40 games last year.
Yeah.
It could happen.
But they weren't in second in the NL East.
Yeah.
I think the Phillies were hanging around the Braves all year, and then the Nats just came on after June 30th.
Yeah, they came on like gangbusters at the end, or the middle of the season. They fired their manager. I mean.
No, Martinez, right? He was there all year.
I don't remember.
No, didn't the Nationals.
Wait a minute, Dusty Baker, when did he get whacked?
No, he got whacked 2 years ago.
Okay.
Okay. Wait a minute, where's Dusty now? He's back in the game.
Astros.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Sat up there during those awkward press conferences and had to sit there and just say all the right things.
Chicken salad with a good question. Who wins more games, the Golden State Warriors or the Detroit Tigers? What was the final tally for the Golden State Warriors anyway?
Hold on. Let me pull it up.
As I predicted, they would not win 36.
Again, NFL
they won
expected
15
on.
Games, 15 and 50.
I think the Tigers can win 15.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a slam dunk. They can win 16.
Yeah.
Go 15 and 40. No, they're going to be better than that. They'll win 20 plus. They'll win 20 games.
That was where Chris and I were at just a moment ago. 19, 20, 21.
I think your pitching might be better than you think.
I think you're counting on our young minor league pitching that isn't ready for the big leagues yet.
Well, you got a couple. You got Mize, the kid from Auburn, who's going to have to go. And the other kid that they drafted, who's been on the team and in the system for like 3 years. What's his name? Henneman? I forget. But he's real good, or projected to be real good. They drafted him right out of high school. And he was going to go to... Was it Wake? No. Loyola? I forget. He was good, drafted. He was going to go to college and play basketball and baseball, I believe.
I mean, I don't recognize a single person on your roster.
Miguel Cabrera.
Oh, there he is. I got to DH. Oh, Cameron Maybin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it?
I recognize Miguel Cabrera and Cameron Maybin.
And I have no idea what kind of shape Cabrera's in. With that bad.
Ivan Nova, the pitcher?
Nova, that's Spanish for no go.
I don't think it is.
Nova is. Yeah, you know the car, the Nova, the old Chevy Nova, didn't sell well south of the border because it's no go.
Really?
Who would buy a car that says no go?
Yeah, well, the same old crappy blue Chevy Nova. Again, that is from Beverly Hills Cop. That's what Axel Foley was driving, a.k.a. Yeah. Eddie Murphy. We had to hit the emergency brake so the car wouldn't roll down the street when you first parked.
Yeah, Dave Martinez was the manager of the Nats all last year.
Okay. What am I thinking of? Who got fired? Maybe it was the year before. Look, I'm looking at the Tiger stats.
Listen, our audience doesn't want to hear you and Chris bounce back and forth between Tigers roster and stats.
I don't want to do this.
I mean, I appreciate talking sports
Victor
for a change.
Reyes, 304, 69 games. Gael Cabrera, 282, 21 homers, 139 RBI.
He's good.
Not 139.
Yeah, it's games played, not RBI.
59.
I hear radio dials clicking off.
The team had 139 RBI last year.
So you're saying I got a chance.
All right, well, in 4 weeks, we'll be able to talk real live-time baseball stats. Chris may even be doing scoring updates at the top of each hour. We don't know. Could happen.
And I'm wondering if MLB makes every single game available to everybody, which they should. They better.
No.
Since it's not going to be baseball next year or the year after, I still have a chance I might not play next year. There's sure as hell I'm playing in 2022. That's for sure.
I'll tell you what. I'll go out on the limb right now.
You feeling it?
No, I'm going to go out on the limb, and I'm going to say the Kansas City Royals have the worst record in baseball this year.
Is that a limb?
Yeah, because and I'm going to give them the slight edge over the Orioles and the Marlins. Simply because the Orioles and the Marlins get to play each other because they're both in the East.
Oh, yeah.
Right. They're both in the East. So maybe, you know, you split there. You look at the, you know.
What?
Well, no, hold on 1 second.
Well, no.
Hold on 1 second. Yeah, the Central, though, you got the Reds, I guess, in the National League who aren't going to be very good.
Cardinals are always good. Cubs will be decent.
And then you got the Royals.
On my out-of-the-park simulation, I'm going to reset it. When the season starts, and make sure because I'm able to do this. I have every single player on every single roster.
Yeah.
and we'll be able to, and I can make my own divisions. So, and make my own schedule, I should say.
All right.
So I'm going to make sure that it's right up there. I'm going to simulate every day and see how it works out.
There's not a bad team out west. I'm not saying they're all good. I'm saying there's not a bad team. There's not a team that you look forward to playing on the schedule.
Are the Padres no longer bad? I know they got Manny Machado.
Padres aren't bad.
No?
No, they're up and coming.
2 years ago, they were horrible. All right.
No, Padres, no. I mean, they're not good. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that they're not.
How about the AL West? The A's will be decent. Are the Angels back?
Well, they'll be decent. They should be.
I think they will be. They signed Rendon from the Nationals.
Yeah.
So you put another stick in the lineup with Mike Trout.
Yeah.
You figure.
Is Albert Pujols still alive?
Yeah, he's still playing. what's his name? Not Tanaka. Who's the pitcher hitter?
Otani. Otani.
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
he should be back from TJ surgery.
Now, will they be pitching him or hitting him?
Throw him every 10 days. Let him get six starts out of the guy. I don't know. Seems easy enough.
Do you do that or do you not use him at all? Give him a whole nother year.
Use the stick?
And just use the stick. I mean, it's 60 games. I don't know if that changes your thinking or not.
Mariners aren't garbage.
Really?
Padres.
Look, I'm not saying they're good. I'm saying that they don't have a team like the Orioles in that division.
There's no layup.
Right. Joey Lucchese last year was the Padres' best pitcher, a 10-10 with a 4.18 ERA. He was their best pitcher. Everybody else was. He was at 500. Chris Paddock ended up at 10-9, with a 3.3 ERA. But overall, I mean, it's I don't know. The Padres don't do anything for me. It's a shame because they have a beautiful ballpark.
Fitz Baltimore Orioles hating. He says Pennant.
Yeah, right.
Said no one ever.
Jeez.
I mean, Earl Weaver ain't coming back.
Look, if you're from that area, just look forward to football season.
Padres team batting average last year was .238.
Yeah, but what was the exit velo?
Their on base percentage was .308. Do you know how bad that is as a team to have an on base percentage of .308?
Horrendous.
That is beyond pathetic.
They've got,
not good.
Yeah, well,
all right.
Oh, where's, what's his name? Machado.
What?
Yeah, Machado's. Yeah, but he only batted, .256 last year too.
Vogelback.
$330 million and he's hitting what? That's ridiculous. Yeah. How about that? Kudos to us actually talking sports and now we're out of time. What you got?
Machado last year, .256 with 32 home runs and 85 RBI.
Who's a bigger disappointment?
32 home runs and only 85 RBI.
Bryce Harper or Manny Machado? That's a lot of money between those two. That's almost $1 billion between those two, and they can't produce. What you got?
You know what? The Reds' win total is up there.
What do you got?
31.5. It's like middle of the pack.
Yeah.
Huh, good for them. I'll take the under.
Okay. I'm going to try and send this a break for the third time. What you got
next? Oh, you want to be on time now, Mr. Clock Integrity, huh?
Sheeman and Shepard.
Oh, there's a change of pace.
It's time to go home now. We ain't fooling around. 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Time for those parting shots. It's What You Got with Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN. Now, it's Sheeman and Shepard.
What You Got is brought to you by Twin Peaks. Stop on by there tonight, get yourself some dinner, bring it on the way home. Eat there if you want to, and just wash it down with a 29-degree beer. Twin Peaks eats, drinks, and scenic views. Today is National Handshake Day. When's the last time you shook anybody's hand?
A couple weeks ago.
For real?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it just did.
Yeah.
It's been like four months for me.
Yeah,
I'll tell you
me
that.
Too. Yeah.
It's going to continue to be that way. Wasn't a big fan of the handshake.
It was kind
of
like a
reaction?
Yeah, sort of thing.
Yeah.
But
did you feel icky afterward?
No, not
like
at
you had
all.
Your Purell.
Please
and all that?
Stop it.
Was it on the golf course?
No, it was at a tiki bar where we live.
Yeah. Let's see here. Today, the Diary of Anne Frank was published. That's kind of sad.
Great book.
1947. I have stood in her bedroom in her house on tour in Amsterdam. It's very sobering. Mm. Happy birthday to Willis Reed.
Mm.
George Michael. Wham.
Dead.
That's true. Del Curry. Alive.
Alive.
Ricky Gervais. Dikembe Mutombo. As we told you earlier, Michael Jackson and Farrah Fawcett passed away on this day in 2009.
I was at orientation in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
I was in my driveway playing with my kids in Los Angeles, and my next-door neighbor said, hey, did you hear Michael Jackson died?
Not Jordan.
The other MJ.
What? Yeah.
And I said, I thought you got to be kidding
11 years ago. 2009?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was I doing in 2009? Oh, yeah, it was on the air that day. We had it happened. When did we find out? That night?
No, it was during the day.
It was during the day, and I was in the central time zone.
Mm-hmm. I was in West Coast. West Side?
Jeez.
I was rolling with Snoop Dogg that day.
That's not how you say it.
West Side?
That's better.
Jacques Cousteau died in 1997.
Where'd he go?
Huh?
Jacques Cousteau.
He was an explorer.
Yeah, great.
1968 on this day, Bobby Bonds hit a grand slam in his first ever game. That's Bobby, not Barry.
Barry's dad.
And in 1997 on this day, Tim Duncan was the first pick of the San Antonio Spurs. They won the title 2 years later. That's quick turnaround.
The big fundamental.
The big fundamental. Mm-hmm. Getting it done. I broadcast two of Tim Duncan's games in college.
At Wake.
Yeah.
Did you go to Winston-Salem, or was it at some place?
Yeah, actually, they signed a home-and-home with the Citadel, and then they came to our place and packed the joint. But, yeah, we went there.
So, I believe he was last four years.
4 year to be picked number one.
To be picked number one overall, yeah.
You may be correct. Mm. All right, that's all I got. Pete Shepard, what you got?
Well, forget about Big Ben, Tom Brady, Antonio Brown. Is turned to a high school quarterback to gear up for his NFL return. Pete Zamora, 17-year-old rising junior who tells TMZ Sports he's been working with Brown for the past few months to help the embattled wide receiver get back into the league. As for how Pete got that role, the story is wild. Pete says he stumbled on a workout with Brown and other NFL stars like Jerry Jeudy and Deshaun Watson at a Florida field back in March. The Deerfield Beach High School QB tells TMZ they saw his big right arm, invited him to Brown's gym, and just a few weeks later, he ended up being one of AB's personal QBs.
The mighty have fallen.
Says he throws passes regularly to Brown, now working out for a couple of hours at a time and tossing somewhere between 50 to 75 passes to the former NFL All-Pro. I think where's this kid's going to go? He must be getting recruited.
It's a thrill for the kid, and it's a step down for
him. What's his name?
Pete Zamora, Z-A-M-O-R-A.
The Z-Man!
At the Deerfield Beach High School. Real good?
What did you just look up, Chris? What do you got?
He has only been recruited. This is 24/7 Sports. Says that FAU is the only school that's gone after him so far.
All right.
Which one's the one that got all the Miami players, FAU or FIU?
FAU.
FIU.
That's where Willie FAU got all the Miami players.
Okay.
Willie Taggart's
I believe you.
Team. Hey, yeah. Just dawned on me. We did a poll today, Twin Peaks Twitter poll.
We did.
Then we didn't do anything, so I don't know.
Let me get to that.
All right. At 99.3 ESPN Radio, are sports essential? 117 votes. No, with 45.3% of the vote. Yes, with 44.4% of the vote. So close. And just professionals with 10.3% of the vote.
Hmm. All right, very good. Chris, what else you got?
Well, Craig, even though the baseball season hasn't started yet, the Miami Marlins are already making history. For good reason.
Really?
Wow, what?
With a 60-game schedule, it will be the latest in the MLB season that the Miami Marlins have been tied for first place in the National League East.
Wow. Since when?
Since 2003.
Since. No, they were a wild card team in 03. They've never won the division.
They've never
been tied for the division lead with 60 games to go in the season in the history of Earth. So with a 60-game season, the Miami Marlins are tied for first in their division with, for the first time in franchise history.
Wow.
Great news.
Fun fact.
Great news.
I mean, if you start out 3-0, you can really start bragging.
Oh, I know. Well, 3-0, what, 7% of the season is done.
You're in the dog days of summer. 5%
every one of his Sports Center updates. The first place, Miami Marlins.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have a problem with that.
No, nor should you.
All right.
And I'll do that for every team this year.
Yeah.
Rays Marlins World Series. How'd that go over?
The Citrus Series? Sign me up.
Hysterical. I love it.
Look, we're keeping intact that rival. Greatest interdivision rivalry in all of Major League Baseball, south of the Mason-Dixon line, Rays Marlins. Fact.
All right. I'll go with it.
It's a very narrow category.
Well, you can walk up at any time and sit in the front row. Any game.
Now the ushers will scoot you
yes,
out.
Yes, they will scoot you out. Just off the TV.
You don't belong in these $40
it's
seats.
Happened to me.
Sit over there in the $4
seat. I did it at Astros games when they were losing 110 games a year.
That's what happened to me in Montreal. It was half filled. Idiots.
It's ridiculous.
Oh.
All right, so Art the Bills fan hooked you up. You've got the pastrami ribs for tonight.
Oh, Art, you are the man.
I mean, you got to be starving right now. I'm just
well,
anticipating.
I had six of them earlier.
I know,
so,
but did you save any for Elaine?
Oh, there's plenty. There's a rack
Chris
and a half
took
left.
A hunk, too.
No, he took a couple. There's a rack and a half left, and there's all sorts of other delectables in the bag in the refrigerator that hopefully somebody didn't rip off.
Yeah, nice rack.
Yep. Boutros, golly. Yeah.
It's the best thing you've put in your mouth all day, right?
Somebody said that at some point. Spain and Company coming up next.
Not on The Office.
That's what she said.
Actually, a lot of innuendo on The Office.
Right.
Lots of innuendo.
All right, I don't know what Sarah Spain's going to be talking about tonight, but
we
she's on
right
coming
last
up at 5 o'clock.
I think it'll be Hall of Fame, the NFL.
Yeah, probably. All right, that'll do it, people. Enjoy the ribs. For Chris,
yes,
who's gone until Monday.
See ya!
For Pete Shepard. I'm Craig Sheeman. Kudos to me. Good night, Southwest Florida. Thanks for listening. Talk to you tomorrow. God bless America and the world.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.